This study is a part of a big project, say in which the main objective is to develop a sustainable food and biomass production systems that is optimized for energy production and also maintenance of ecological services using the byproduct of biofuel production, in this case, a biochar is that byproduct. So the most specific, the specific objective for the talk of this today is to study the effect of biochars produced from carbon-optimized fast pyrolysis using three feedstocks. That is, one is a corn stover, switchgrass, and Ponderosa pine wood chips on soil surface exchange of greenhouse gases and also crop yields. At two landscape positions, one is a crest and another one is a foot slope of an agriculture field, which is under corn soybean rotation. So this field study is located at Brookings, South Dakota. So it, as I said, it has two landscape positions. One is a foot slope, another one is a crest. The foot slope belongs to the Brookings soil series and crest belongs to the Maddox soil series. The soils of these two landscape positions have several contrasting physical and chemical characteristics. So in this study, we applied three types of biochar, a field study. One is a corn stover biochar, switchgrass biochar, and the third one, Ponderosa pine wood biochar. We applied at 1% rate. We actually applied with the hand, basically they were hand applied, and then rototill to 3 inches depth, and then the plot size is 15 by 20. And then we have four applications for this study. So we are doing the first, last year, the crop was in the field of corn. So these are a few details about the agronomic management of that crop. So we planted in May 2013 and then harvested during September of 2013. So this year cropping season we have soybean, but this time we didn't apply any fertilizers. We planted in the May 2014 and harvested October 2014. So in these two cropping seasons, we collected soil samples of two depths, 0 to 7.5, 7.5 to 15 centimeters for analysis of carbon and nitrogen. And then we collected gas samples approximately weekly during these two cropping seasons, one previously corn and this season soybean. So in this study, we applied the biochars. Those are highly alkaline with a lot of ash content because they were produced from high pyrolytic temperature process. So these are some selective properties. As I mentioned before, two landscape positions. One is a crest and a foot slope. The crest is like more, it's a sandy loam with a lower organic matter, moderately acidic, whereas the foot slope is a bit relatively higher organic matter, the texture belongs to the clay loam, and then there are other nutrient parameters, they are differ each other. So these are cumulative methane emissions collected for two seasons. So this side has a crest foot slope, and that side is a crest position. So we collected in 2013 and 2014. If you look at the foot slope, you can see there's a methane uptake in both years, irrespective of a crop, but we didn't see any biochar effects on it. Whereas at crest portion, you can see some positive emissions of methane, but the biochars had some effect on the methane emissions. Especially switchgrass was consistent, producing negative emissions in both years at the crust position. So it seems like the foot slope position promoting, we are proposing some tentative mechanisms for these trends. So it seems like the foot slope promoting some methanotrophic bacteria, the growth of that carries out biological oxidation of methane, Now, so the structure is different compared to the crest, the push slope. So we assume the structural geometry of the push slope may also could also increase the residence time of methane, so that the methanotrophs have some more time to carry out either low or high affinity oxidation. So that's what we are guessing at why we had a lot of methane uptake at push slope. Whereas at the crest, there could be a possibility of with the application of biochars, the more oxic conditions that may also promote the methanotrophic activity. Or other thing is, as we know, the biochars have a higher affinity for nitrogen substrates, so that it reduces the competition for enzymes like methane monooxidase, so that the methanotrophs have, can act more on methane. So that's the, we assume those tentative mechanisms for those trends. If you look into the carbon dioxide emissions, especially in the first year, we observe some substrate induced positive priming effect with the application of biochars in both foot slope and the crest. In the first year, that's during corn cropping season. So that maybe you can see there's some 3.4 to 4.60% increase at the foot slope, and then a 9 to 15% increase in the crest with the application of biochar in the first season. So this could be due to maybe easily available carbon substrates for soil microbial functional groups that comes with the biochar material cell. Whereas in the second year, this season, we observe there's some biochar showing some negative priming effects on especially carbon moderation. You can see those the decreasing percentages mentioned on those figures. This one may be the running out of those easily available carbon substrates, and also this increased carbon limitation may improve the resource use efficiency of these microbial functional groups to convert that whatever available carbon more into the microbial biomass, which is a kind of more conserved pool. The other thing is, with the aging, these biochars can develop high acidity on the surface that can also promote intraparticular occlusion of this carbon substrate, so that may can reduce the spatial contact of these materials with the microbial functional groups. That's what we guess with looking at these trends. And then finally, these are the nitrous oxide emissions. Regarding the nitrous oxide emissions, you can see the biochars have some mitigation effects even from the first year itself. So especially if you look into this figure, you can see higher emissions from a foot slope compared to the crest position. And also the emissions are higher in the first year. That could be due to the addition of fertilizers compared to the second year. So regarding the effects, the mitigation effects of the biochar here, we assume, the biochar in our studies proven to absorb a lot of nitrogen substrates, and also increasing the pH in the vicinity. For the biochar material, so that could promote some of the enzymes like a nitrous oxide reductase that promote or complete the denitrification process. The other thing is this biochar surface has a potential to absorb the redox couples such as electron sinks like nitrogen substrates or donors or organic substrates that may also can affect this heterotrophic microbial activity. And also the denitrification process. That could be one of the reasons why we see some mitigation effects on nitrous oxide in the presence of biochar in the treatment. So this is the chemical carbon fractionation was done for soil samples after finishing the first cropping season. So we actually, to correlate the trends with the carbon dioxide emissions I showed in the previous slide, this was done using sequential hot water acid hydrolysis. You can see the higher extractable carbon observed at the first slope. This way, even we've seen in the previous slide, there is a higher emissions from the first slope. And they also said that those extractable carbon contents were a little bit lower, even though they are not significant, but there is some effect on YHR treatments on the extractable carbon, so which is highly correlated with the carbon dioxide emissions. So this table has another recalcitrant indices. Those were calculated using this extractable carbon. So those are also following the similar trends as extractable carbon. So the another parameter is we measure different fractions of nitrogen just to see why we got those trends in terms of nitrous oxide emissions and the mitigation effect. So even we observe extractable nitrogen of different fractions were lower, followed the similar trend as a carbon. So that could be a reason why we didn't see much emissions, as much compared to the control in the biochar treatments. That's what this data supports the trends in especially carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide emissions. So finally, this is a yield crop yields. So this is the last year yield data of the corn crop. But we didn't see any effects on the bottom side, the first slope of biochar treatments on the crop yields. But we saw some effects, even though they are not significant, on the crest position, especially from 3 to 13 bushels per acre increase, in the biochar treatments. Even we have we conducted another study. One of our PhD students did a study where he studied the relationships of water and the biochar surface. So he found with the biochar application, 70,000 to 100,000 liters of water, plant available water increase per hectare. That is almost equal to 2 to 3 days, additional days of availability of water to the corn crop. Probably that's the reason why we observe some increase in the yields on the top side. That could be improved water retention properties in the biochar treatment so that the crop was benefited. So finally, this season also we observed some little bit effects on the yields in the soybean, especially on the top side, that's the crest position. We observed 30 to 100 kilograms per acre of seed increase, but even though they are not significantly different, but there's some effects, but not as much as other effects of biochar and soil chemical properties or as we observe in the greenhouse gas emissions fields. So these are the conclusions of this study. We observe methane uptake in both years at lower landscape position, especially the brooking soil and the crest position. Switchgrass behaved differently. It produced negative emissions in both years. And then carbon dioxide emissions were higher in the first year. And then biochar started to show negative priming effect on these emissions from the second year with the aging. And then the nitrous oxide, regarding nitrous oxide, it has a mitigation effects even from the first year. So we conclude that the mitigation effects of these biochar treatments, especially on the carbon dioxide, nitrous oxide, has been improved with the aging of these materials in the field. So, but not that much effects on the yields. But there are some effects on the top side, which could be due to the improvement of water retention properties. So with that, I'm open to questions.
I wonder if you could explain why your acid hydrolyzable carbon didn't increase with biochar addition. I would have expected with biochar addition you would have had an increase in your non-hydrolyzable carbon, and that you didn't see that.
That's a good question, but I don't know.
Have you been to the aging of biochar after the second year or after the second year? How much aging happened in the
body? Oh yeah, we are going to analyze with the GC. We haven't analyzed the samples yet. We have a plan to analyze using the pyrolysis GCMS. Yeah, we are going to do that.
So how are we going to analyze the aged biochar?
We are going to collect some biochar from the field for analysis and doing some NMR and GC-MS analysis. So yeah, we are going to collect from the field. But I know that's difficult, but we are doing it.
Collecting. Studies claim that biochar is more effective in the shorter term, and in the longer term they are not effective or not.
I don't know. We observed a kind of different.
So that's what I was wondering about the aging.
Yeah, that's why we are also interested to look what happens to the biochar composition and surface this year.
How do you approach taking the biochar sampling from the field?
We haven't figured it out yet, but maybe we need to get a large amount of soil sample mixed with the biochar. But I don't know, some technique we have to follow to separate those materials based on the density, maybe. And then, yeah, we may get a we don't know yet. But that's how we are going to collect the samples, which is mixed with the biochar. And then use some kind of centrifuge or washing technique or sieving technique and separate those based on the density of the materials and separate the biochars and use it for analysis. That's all.
How fine the particle size?
We actually applied as a pellet. So maybe even though they disintegrate into smaller particles, but we hope we get some for our analysis.
We are out of time, so we're going to move on to the next presenter.
Okay, thank you.